This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Now JFK 8 Amazon workers say dirty company tactics won't stop their unionizing.
We want to change our relationship with the company and make it less of a dictatorship there and more of a partnership, said Connor Spence, who is a worker and union organizer trying to form an established union called the Amazon Labor Union.
We're joined by Connor Spence and Natalie Maneras, activists to form the Amazon Labor Union.
And how many workers are we talking about in JFK 8 Amazon?
About 5,600.
In the warehouse. Well, let's talk about the two of you, the kind of work that you do there and the kind of conditions you faced which made it essential to consider organizing, unionizing for better conditions and rights and dignity on the job that is deserving of all workers. Natalie, why don't you get us started?
We have had unsafe conditions for quite a while, not just because of COVID, but quite a few other issues with race discrimination and gender discrimination, for management. I don't know if you guys had a chance to read the New York Times article that came out a couple of weeks ago, but they did an amazing story. They actually spent over 9 months interviewing over 200 employees from Amazon at all levels. They pieced together pretty much all the bulletin points of the issues that have gone unaddressed Amazon nationwide. They were also addressing the safety issues because of so many people actually getting sick with COVID. We also have the highest injury rate at Amazon compared to other warehouses like UPS and FedEx. We really felt, I think a lot of the workers believed that trying to address anything with human resources and management was not resulting in any type of improvement or change. Some of the workers just got really fed up with it, and Kristen Smalls took the lead last spring and had a protest here at JFK 8 in Staten Island, protesting the fact that we did not have proper PPE at the beginning stages of COVID. A lot of people inside JFK 8 got really, really sick, including Chris. Amazon was not being forthcoming about who was sick, how many people were sick. They were not giving us masks or vinyl gloves to wear in the break rooms. There was no extra cleaning products, no extra hand sanitizers, no social distancing at that time. Chris took it upon himself to have a protest in the parking lot, make sure there was plenty of media coverage, because we all learned that, unfortunately, Amazon does not do anything at all unless something winds up in the press. Otherwise, everything is swept under the rug. I actually celebrated my second year anniversary this month at Staten Island, JFK. I was in New Jersey a year before that, and right now I'm a sort inductor on the ship dock. I have a large bin to my right, and I stand in a caged area that's about 10 by 10. I'm wedged between the bin of mail that's coming down from another conveyor belt, and I grab the mail with my right hand and I transfer it to my left hand and throw it on a separate conveyor belt that has a camera over my head. Camera actually scans the labels that are on the packages and figures out which location it needs to go to be delivered.
tell us about the dangers that you face, and whether there's speed up, issues of bathroom and lunch restrictions or things like that.
The production rate is a minimum of 1,800 per hour for what I do. So we have to work literally at lightning pace. We have to keep that up for 10 to 12 hours a day. You have to be careful because the conveyor belt's going really fast. So if you lean over too far, your hair, your clothes, the badge ID around your necklace, anything could get caught in the conveyor belt. Your gloves can get caught in the conveyor belt. Everything can get sucked in literally in a split second. Luckily, we have snaps on the back of our necklace because it has happened twice where the necklace got sucked into the conveyor belt and literally in a second it snapped off my neck as my head was about to go under the conveyor belt. We're not allowed to go to the bathroom or get water otherwise, and I'm talking specifically more about the women too. The women are targeted more than the men for time off task and being written up if we leave our station. If I leave my station, literally within 10 seconds, my production rate numbers start plummeting. So you have to keep up that pace for 10 to 12 hours nonstop. If I do have to go on break, we have 2 half-hour breaks. Because everything's so far away, by the time you get to the bathroom and break room and you deal with the lines for the vending machines in the bathroom, you probably have about 10 to 15 minutes to actually sit down. Because our jobs are so physical, we're doing cardio and weightlifting with as massive as the warehouses are. We have 4 floors at JFK. All together, it's the square footage of 15 or 16 football fields. Some people drag dollies. Well, the dollies are about 200 pounds each without anything on top of them. There's a lot of heavy lifting. We're packed in. We're really packed in. It's a grueling job. You have to be really, really tough, and you have to stand up for yourself. Otherwise, most people don't make it past the first 30 days. Most people will either quit or be terminated.
Well, let's also hear from Connor. What kind of work do you do there? And I think we heard from Natalie about why. The answer is union. Connor?
I've been with Amazon for 3 years. Before I worked at JFK 8, I worked at a building called EWR4 in Robbinsville, New Jersey. Those of us, like me and her, we've been here for 2 and 3 years. We're considered ancient. We're the veterans. Most people do not stay at Amazon that long. Mm-hmm. There are very few people who have been there longer than me. One of the other lead organizers, Derek, has been there for 5 years, and I don't know of anybody who is in a tier one position for more than 5 years. That's a crazy amount of time. Most people, they're here for a few months, don't usually last the whole year.
They use you up and spit you out, huh?
One of the things in the New York Times article that was pointed out about JFK 8 specifically is that their turnover is 150%. In a building with about 6,000 people, in a year they will hire and fire 9,000 people. And that's part of the reason why Amazon has been so difficult to unionize thus far, because how do you build solidarity amongst what is essentially a transient workforce? It's as much a gig job as Uber or DoorDash. The people treat it that way because it's impossible to really stay in that position for very long. And when Amazon comes to these small communities, builds a warehouse and completely absorbs the local economy, puts all the other small businesses out of business, essentially what they're doing is now creating a lot of jobs, but they're creating completely unstable employment that destabilizes the community. So I hear a lot of people say that JFK specifically, or Amazon, is the largest employer on Staten Island. Yes, Amazon creates jobs, but they're not the kind of jobs that you want for your community. As far as what I do, I'm what's called a problem solver. I work in the department that packages shipments that have multiple items in it. And certain shipments throughout the day, they need to be reprocessed for whatever reason. There's an issue with them. An item is missing or damaged. It's my job to help reprocess that package, get the replacement item, and also get all of the shipments in the department out of the building and onto the truck at a specified time. It's important somebody like me be there to make sure that they're not late delivering those shipments.
And Natalie, how did you and Connor and I don't know how many others, but quite a few people come together initially, and how did you start to organize, and how are you organizing to form a union?
It was a blessing in disguise. I had a male supervisor not allow me to go to the ladies' room one day He physically blocked me and told me I wasn't allowed and then put his hands on me and pushed me back. And I got so mad about it that I reported him to HR and walked out of the building and walked right across the street and told Kristen Smalls about it. I had never met him before. He immediately said, you need to join the ALU. You need to work with us. ALU stands for Amazon Labor Union. From that point on, Chris literally distributed my phone number to every lawyer, reporter, journalist, community leader, pretty much everybody. And by that night, I already had people calling me and texting me and emailing me, setting up one discussion after another. And then I met Connor and Derek are there with him every day as well, Derek Palmer and Connor. Also, two of the other guys are Jerry and Jason. All of them were really, really nice when I first met them and very informative about what they wanted to do, how they wanted to organize, and they wanted to increase the number of people that were volunteering because we wanted to start taking action. Actually, one of the attorneys that we hooked up with started helping us file charges with the National Labor Review Board, started filing charges about all the union busting that's been going on, and we also filed charges for gender discrimination and race discrimination. Amazon actually has policies in place about how hourly employees are not supposed to be promoted. Amazon only wants young white males out of college with no business experience to be placed in manager positions. That creates a whole other issue of an us versus them atmosphere inside there, because a lot of these young managers have no appreciation at all for what we've done because they've never had to do that kind of job. Because most of the staff is black and brown, there's unfortunately a lot of issues with communication and harassment going on. So that's also one of the policies that we want to change, because we have some really good hourly employees in there that have been there multiple years. And because they have good attendance and good production, they are more deserving of having promotions than college kids that have never worked at Amazon before and have no idea what is actually done, how it's done, what obstacles we face. There's no compassion. There's no sympathy or understanding whatsoever. That was 2 months ago. Every single week, we have been increasing our group and having bigger and bigger meetings, and more volunteers have showed up. We actually have people inside the building that are educating the younger staff on unions and passing out business cards and brochures. We're all wearing our ALU t-shirts inside the building, trying to decrease the amount of fear and intimidation and just having people feel comfortable with us to talk about it and ask questions. We have a little spitfire named Dana Miller, who has really kicked things off inside the building, writing notes on the bulletin boards and really reaching out one-on-one with people, also talking to people at the bus stop. She's been fantastic. All the guys are just unbelievably dedicated and committed to helping the workers as much as we can. Christian has actually spent the past year and a half keeping in touch with all the families of the deceased workers who have died because they either became ill at Amazon with COVID or they were injured at work. He was fired the day after the protest on March 31st of last year. Connor and Derek were really the two people that jumped in right away and started talking about forming this union and taking action. I think the people inside HR and management are really shocked that we've taken the steps that we have, because even the New York Attorney General's office is involved, and I'm testifying for them regarding some class action lawsuits from people that have caught COVID. So we're getting our stories out with all the reporters, putting notes up inside. We're talking to people. We're trying to get the workers involved. And we're making a lot of progress.
Well, Connor, talking about spitfires, I don't know who the other spitfire is, but we sure got one here with Natalie.
One of the problems early in the campaign is that we didn't have enough women. When it was just me, Chris, and Derek talking to workers, mm-hmm. we had a lot of support mm-hmm. from women, but nobody who was like really outspoken like Natalie or Dana to come out. So I'm really grateful that we have them on board, because they can really speak to the experience of being a woman in that warehouse and the discrimination and harassment that they face.
Weren't you intimidated, particularly after the experience of Chris Small, who got fired. Amazon's scary. They've been kicking workers' butt across the world. Why did it, for you, take the form of unionization? What does that mean to you?
Well, essentially, it means to me that going forward, if we have a union, Amazon has to consider the workers in their business decisions. And right now they don't. Amazon puts profits over people every single time. If they ever do anything good for the workers, there's always an ulterior motive behind it. They did recently give out raises across the country, but it was very conveniently after the Alabama union campaign by the RWDSU. They'll do just enough to quell worker organizing efforts, demoralize people, but at the end of the day, a good example is right now they have union busters inside the building talking to workers, asking them what Amazon can improve or how they can make the workplace better. People will tell me, I've worked here forever. This is the first time they actually have started listening to us. And I tell them the second that we pack up that tent and we stop talking to workers about the union, everything goes back to normal. They start treating you like a number again. So to me, that's what unionizing is. The way I got involved in this, I always knew that we needed a union at Amazon, I think, after my first year, but I just never knew how to get started, or I never really was the one to take this step and make that happen. But after I heard about what happened to Chris and he got fired and the COVID really started to kick off and I knew it was going to be a catastrophe at Amazon, I already knew how they treated workers. I knew that this was going to be one of the worst things ever. And even to this day, they won't tell us how many cases there are inside the buildings or how many people died. But hearing the news of Chris and how he became kind of an icon for all the mistreatment that Amazon places upon its workers, he was kind of like the figurehead for that. I thought the best thing I could do if I wanted to get workers united together was, he was holding a protest in New York in front of Jeff Bezos's new mansion that he bought by Madison Square Park. I hopped on the bus to New York and I met Chris, talked to him and Derek about possibly using the momentum from what happened to him to see if we could mobilize workers and try a union campaign at JFK 8. And then a few months later, here we are. We're in the midst of it.
Connor, talk about the cookouts that you have in organizing and the reaction of management.
One of the things we try to do, we try to correct for the mistakes we saw that were made in Alabama, is that we really want to be interactive with the workers, try to show them that a union is about workers coming together and helping one another and caring for one another. So we do cookouts outside the building about once a week or once every 2 weeks. We get the hot dogs, hamburgers, we bring in catered food. And a lot of what we do is either self-funded or we have a GoFundMe people can donate to, and we spread that around on social media. But we don't have the resources of a large established union, obviously, so we're kind of grassroots. We try to use that money that we do have to have the cookouts, especially because the food inside the warehouse is garbage. It's essentially prison food, especially when you're working 10, 12-hour shift. The people inside are grateful to have an option to come out and get some free food. And when they're out there, it's the perfect opportunity to have a conversation about the union and the way the company treats people. And Amazon does not like that we do that. Actually, after our very first cookout, the very next day, mysteriously, a fence appeared blocking the spot where we had our tents set up and were handing out food. And we have a charge filed against them with the NLRB for that, because it's illegal union busting, trying to prohibit us access to the property, even though we're workers. We had to move our location a little bit, but it didn't deter us. We still have the cookouts and we still offer food to the workers and talk to the workers. But also in response, now Amazon miraculously sometimes starts offering their own food inside the break rooms. The workers see right through it, and they know that if we weren't doing what we were doing, Amazon wouldn't be so nice to them.
And talk about some of the other tactics that Amazon has employed to try to hamper, roadblock, deter, and which are probably illegal, the union organizing effort.
There's a couple big ones that I think Natalie can speak to better than I can, but I'll just tell you that they have done several illegal things, and we're in the process of having the board investigate these things. The things they've done so far, they've confiscated union literature from me and other organizers in the break rooms, which is against the NLRA, because you have a protected right to talk about unions, hand out literature in non-work areas.
Right, and that's the National Labor Relations Act, and before you mentioned the NLRB, National Labor Relations Board. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're doing that. First, they had security do it, and Amazon contracts their security, so they tried to hide behind the fact that their security is a third party. But then later on, it actually happened to me again, and this time it was an operations manager who was part of the site leadership. And then, you know, they prohibit access to the building. So under the NLRA, the employer cannot prohibit access to the building to non-work areas unless a valid business reason justifies it. But Amazon has a policy now, miraculously, that is only enforced for union organizers, where it says you can't be in the building 15 minutes after your shift ends or 15 minutes before your shift begins. And that's something that in the 3 years that I've been at Amazon, I've never even heard of or seen enforced. Amazon doesn't really have a valid business reason for that policy, so that's another thing that's under investigation. But specifically, I think one of the most egregious things that happened, and Natalie can speak to it, is that the union busters that Amazon brought in, they're the same people that they employed in Bessemer, Alabama, in order to divide the workers, because a union organizer's job is to help the workers come together and realize that they have a common enemy. The union busters will come in and essentially try to divide the workers along whatever lines they can think of. And a lot of times they use race and they make racist comments. And Natalie was actually the one who brought this to our attention, so I could let her speak on that.
I don't know if you guys have been reading the papers about the union busting. Back on May 4th, I had a coworker come up to me and say, there's an auditor for Amazon downstairs. He's talking with people. He wants to talk to you next. I said, okay. I was a little confused because nobody ever takes the time to talk to us about anything. So that was unusual. When I met him, he introduced himself as Bradley Moss, an auditor for Amazon. We talked for 45 minutes. He immediately just started trying to befriend me, asking me what I did, how long I've been with the company. Blah, blah, blah. We talked for a little while. He eventually started talking about how he had just come from Bessemer, Alabama. As soon as those words came out of his mouth, I thought, oh, he's a union buster. Okay. Right after that, he started talking about how it was not a real union effort going on in Alabama. He actually called it a Black Lives Matter protest for social justice, not a serious union effort. Then he started talking about the ALU organizers in front of the JFK 8 building. He actually referred to them as thugs, said that they were never going to get it off the ground because they didn't know what they were doing. They were just a bunch of thugs. And I got offended when he said that. And when he saw that I didn't laugh or carry on the conversation, he immediately picked up a chart to show me that we were all, for no reason at all, getting a 50-cent per hour pay raise out of the blue. I guess he thought that would smooth things over. He was also asking everybody what three things you would change about Amazon. So I told him the race and gender discrimination, the lack of promotions and training for the hourly workers, especially the minorities and the women, the blatant favoritism going on by the managers, and a work comp system that is completely failed because the HR, the safety people, and the loss control people do not want anybody filing work comp claims, even though we have a massive amount of injuries. They would prefer to just tell you that you're fine, send you home with unpaid time off, or they, if it's serious, they'll refer you to state disability so that they can save Jeff Bezos money on his work comp premiums and not having to pay any settlement money on future medical care and permanent disability for the injuries. They're not taking care of their workers is what they're doing. They're trying to sweep everything under the rug. So we're dealing with that. And then with the union busting, basically have flyers everywhere that are anti-union. At first they were mild, and each week, starting a few months ago, they became more and more aggressive and more insulting. And the flyers are literally in the bathroom every single day. They're updated every week. The anti-union flyers are on top of the break rooms. Also on the bulletin boards on the front and back on each floor, they have anti-union messages that are flashed in digital form for everyone to see day and night shift. If they see or hear you talking about the union, they basically try to break it up, and they hired more security people to specifically keep an eye on whether or not there's any union paperwork anywhere or if anybody's discussing the union. And we've been inundated with this stuff. I actually took over 20 pictures one day and sent them to a reporter for the status quo social media news. Jordan Sheridan did a really, really good story on all the union busting that was going on. After the story broke, they took down the flyers for a couple of days, and then they put them right back up. We're dealing with this nonstop. Of course, me and Connor and Derek and Dana, we're all continuing inside the building to hand out cards, brochures. We're continuing to talk to people. We're not going to let that stop us. It's just been pretty insulting the way that we've been inundated like this. All the messages are about fear and intimidation.
So why don't both of you just give us your final thoughts on what you think we, the consumer, need to do to support union at Amazon? Why don't we start with Connor, and then you'll take us out, Natalie.
Well, if you are local in the community and you'd like to volunteer, you can come visit us at our union tent outside the warehouse. We're there every day. We have a GoFundMe, and you can get to that on our website or look us up on social media. We're at Amazon Labor on Twitter, or you can go to AmazonLaborUnion.org. Every dollar counts because we'll buy a box of donuts, and that's a good icebreaker to talk to our workers, to hand them a donut. We're really a low-budget campaign. Other than that, just spread the word on social media. Tell your friends. If you have people you know who work at Amazon, which everybody does, talk to them about their experience and the need for a union, and possible get them in contact with us.
And Natalie, you got 50 seconds. Take us out.
We would just like all the customers out there for Amazon and all the shareholders especially to step up. Go ahead and complain. You guys have all been reading the stories in the papers. You've seen the stories on social media. It's a big story right now. Pretty much everybody's doing stories on Amazon. If the customers and shareholders could speak up, and also anybody out there, you can always contact your local politicians, your state politicians. We need modern day labor laws to be updated. We not only need new laws, but we need regulation for these CEO billionaires that are just out of control. It all comes down to profit over people. A lot of the workers in this country are really being mistreated, and we're going to do everything we can to change that.
We stand 150% with you, and the next time we talk, there's going to be a vote. We're going to make sure that Amazon doesn't get away with. We really need some community labor strategies here to show our support for our fellow workers. We fight back, and we support the ALU.
We appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We've been joined by Connor Spence and Natalie Menares, members of the Amazon Labor Union.
Mimi Rosenberg with Ken Nash for Building Bridges. Stay strong and educate, agitate, and organize for the empowerment of we the people, for another world is possible.